Okay, so the conference is coming slowly to the end. We are having the last talk now by Jürgen Reuter on ontological processing of sound resources. Jürgen is from here, from Karlsruhe, and had a talk last year already. And it, last year and this year again, it is both times it was a sort of a theme, not in the center maybe of the Linux audio conference, but nevertheless very interesting. Thank you very much, Jürgen.
Thanks for the introduction. So my talk is about visibility issue. And it mainly focuses on the problem of having a large number of sound resources on a system. So let's have a look at typical problems that composers will face on a system. So first of all, a composer may ask, so I have many synthesizers and many sound banks, and I remember there was some cool trumpet sound, but on which synthesizer was it? And on what sound bank and which programmer number did it have? So I would like to find this sound, but I don't know where it was. Another problem that a composer may face, well, I somewhere had this funny synth pad sound that I had on my favorite synthesizer, and I saved it in some directory. And that was a fun sound that I would like to use again, but where did I save it? Where did I store it? And another example is for a new composition, I would like to add a string line, a string track. And so I would like to select a string synthetic sound from all available synthetic string sounds on my system, but I don't know which string sounds I have, so I would like to get a list of all available string synthetic string sounds. So, what's the problem here? As I just mentioned, there are so many sounds, and you typically you have a lot of synthesizing software or synthesizers, hardware synthesizers or whatever, and there are many sound banks on all these devices or soft devices. Even worse, all these sound resources are mostly not at all sorted. You have some synthesizer that has lots of patches, but these patches are unfortunately, in most cases, are arbitrarily ordered. And actually, you would like to see these these sounds in a particular order, such that you can look up or find them in an easier way. Another problem is that typically each synthesizer software or each hardware synthesizer has its own way or its own method of displaying sounds or browsing through lists of sounds. That is, if you are looking for a particular sound and you have to look across different synthesizers, then you have to turn on each synthesizer separately and have to browse through all the lists of sounds. And yeah, that's not very funny. And related to this problem is there's no central registry for sounds in the system where you could just easily browse through the sounds or ask for a certain sound. So let's start with the aspect of sorting sounds or ordering them. So, well, that's not at all a new problem. If we look at in history, we will find that instruments, acoustic instruments, always have been classified to some certain rules or certain paradigm. And most prominently, there are instruments taxonomies. Instrument taxonomies are a hierarchical way of classifying individual instruments into classes. And these classes are typically ordered in a hierarchic way. For example, a violin is an acoustic instrument, but it falls in the category of string sounds or string instruments. And among string instruments, there are bowed instruments and plucked instruments, and the violin is a bowed string instrument. Or there are also wind instruments, and among wind instruments there are brass and reed instruments, and for example the trumpet is a brass instrument. As you already can see, I have here a difference in the diagram between classes of instruments and individuals of instruments. For example, the trumpet is an individual of the class of brass instruments. And this is also somewhat can also lead to pitfalls, because maybe we decide that trumpet is also a class of instruments, and maybe there's a baroque trumpet or whatever classic trumpet. So the difference, what is a class and what is an instance of a class, is not always clear. Another way of sorting or ordering instruments has also a long tradition. Recall that if you have an acoustic organ and an organ player is, for example, invited to give a concert in a different city, then he has to quickly learn what registers are on this organ, because every organ has its individual set of registers. And so over history there evolved a system for naming, for classifying registers in order to make it easy for an organ player to quickly get accustomed to an organ that he has never played before. So what do organs use in order to classify registers? First of all, pitch is a very important thing. On organs you have deep registers and high registers. Going back or based on the length actually of the flutes, of the pipes. So we have the classification by pitch. Then we have the classification by the construction principle of the pipes. For example, there are labial pipes or lingual pipes, but there are also either open pipes or closed pipes. So this describes how the pipes are created or how they work. Then the third point is the classification by function of the sound. So what's the purpose of the sound? And on an organ, for example, you might have a solo register, some kind of pipes that are very good for playing the lead line in a big arrangement, or you have some principal or mixture registers, maybe some registers that are good for playing bass line or something like that. So this is more the function, the purpose of the sound. And finally, the organ sounds may also be classified by prototype sounds. That is, you have a register and give to the register the name of a sound that sounds similar to this organ sound. For example, there's a flute register, or there may be a bassoon register or a trumpet register. Just to give a raw hint how this register may sound. Of course, this is only an example way of giving such classifications. There are also other classifications possible. So, that were classifications in history. What about recent, more recent classifications in electroacoustic or electric or electronic devices? First of all, the MIDI specification defines the general MIDI specification defines 108 instruments, and these are grouped into categories like piano or chromatic percussion or organ or guitar and so on. And on the one hand. On the other hand, in general MIDI level 2, we have an extension of this principle by saying, okay, we have certain bands of sounds, and while in the grouping in GM level 1 is pertained, in GM level 2 we define several bands with the same grouping but a different style of sound. So effectively we get a two-dimensional matrix of sounds. Well, that's fine for if you have a set of limited set of sounds that are typically available on GM devices. But we are also interested in more in a more flexible system, and we would also like to be able to describe synthetic sounds. Okay, so what can we do? We can try to generalize the banking and grouping approach and say, okay, we have a number of tags, and each sound can be annotated with the number of tags that describe the sound. So this is in effect a generalization of grouping and banking, and insofar as it allows more than just these two dimensions on the one hand, on the other hand, sound may also be not just in a cell of these two-dimensional matrix, but it may also be part of multiple groups. Yes, and these tags can be used for, they serve as meta information about the sound. So, if we have a more deeper look at tags, we can also see these classifications that we also already saw on the acoustic organ and even more. So we have if we look what tags are feasible, then we can start with the prototype-driven approach. That is, we have a number of tags that characterize the sound as being similar to some already known, well-known instruments, such as string or violin or percussive sound or a synthetic sound, or if we adapt the banking system of GM level 2, we can also characterize the sound as a quiet or resonant. Then we have once again the function driven approach, the purpose of the sound, and here we have, for example, effect sounds or a lead sound or melodic sound or drum sound. As you can already see, these categories are not disjunct. For example, drum sounds and percussive sounds, they are somewhat redundant. Then we also have construction-driven classification. That is, how is the sound created, or what is involved in creating the sound, like an arpeggiator or a vocoder or etc. the frequency modulated sound, or there's a, something with the slow decay of the sound. Finally, there may also be user-defined tags for whatever classification you personally like. And what's missing here, so I said at least four types. So we have also seen there are styles like classic or ethnic or electronic. These may also be good tags. Okay. One thing more, on Wednesday I got to know that there is already the Free Sound Organization, which also extensively uses tags. So if we are looking for tags, we may also have a look at their top list of their most known tags. So tagging is also nothing really new. But there's another important aspect on tags that is not yet considered very well. And it is that tags are deductive. That is, if a sound is tagged with one property, then in very many cases another property derives from this tag. For example, if a sound is tagged as being a violin, or as the characteristic of a violin sound, then this implies that the sound has also a string property, or the characteristic of a string sound. Or similar, a drum is a percussive sound, or if you have a sound that is characterized as a vocoder sound, then this is most probably a synthetic sound. Or lead sound is most probably, or it's actually for sure a melodic sound. And this is an additional challenge, because without deductiveness of tags, we could just take a plain relational database management system for storing and processing and retrieving these sound resources. But since tags are deductive, in a pure relational database, we would have to store all the implied tags as well as the explicitly stated tags. So a plain relational database is not the right way to handle this. So what to do? And my idea is, why not use an ontological database, or ontological management system? So what is an ontology management system? What is that? That is similar to a database, but it does not build on relations, but rather on description objects, which is also known as concept languages. And this is a fragment of first order logic, and in general first order logic is undecidable, some engineers took just a fragment of first order logic which keeps decidable, such that you can use it in practice. And it supports modeling of classes, properties, and individuals. The last few years, there has been done a couple of research in this field, and there's already a standard from the web consortium, the W3C, and it's called OWL, the Ontology Web Language. And there are, in the meantime, there are many tools supporting this standard. So, as I just said, an ontology management system is somewhat similar to a relational database management system. And like the database management system, it can serve as a central repository. But unlike in relational database management system, an ontology management system also provides reasoning, that is, it can infer knowledge from a given set of statements by applying first-order logic. So we have an assertive knowledge that goes into this management system, and in this management system, new knowledge can be inferred from the assertive knowledge, and query answering can then be done, including the inferred knowledge. So let's have a look at an example. So first of all, I said we have classes. So let's just give some examples for classes. So we have a class melodic, and classes can also have subclasses. A subclass is a class which forms such that whenever a member of a class so if A is a subclass of B, and there's a and C is a member of class A, then it follows that it is also a member of the superclass. For example, we have the class melodic, and we declare that the class lead is a subclass of the class melodic, then that means that every member of the class lead is also a member of the class melodic. Or similar for the synth vocoder example. So as you can see, this way we can represent the implications I just had on a few slides ago. For example, a French horn may be a member of the class horn, and then it's also a member of the class brass. I think I have also examples here. Yeah, right. So the French horn is a member of the class horn, which itself is a member of, is a subclass of the class brass, which itself is a subclass of the brass wind. And individuals may also be members of more than a single class. For example, the synthetic lead guitar can be a member of the class guitar, as well as a member of the class lead, as well as a member of the class synthetic. Okay, we would like to see the implications. And this is done internally in the ontological database by inferring the full class hierarchy. Yeah. And this is done by the first order logic description. So internally, you just declare the French horn to be a member of the class horn, and all the other memberships are automatically inferred through the class hierarchy. And not only just, so there are, as you can see here, for example, the French horn is also a wind instrument, so it can go over a couple of superclasses or subclasses in the hierarchy. So, besides classes, there are also properties. For example, a member of the class horn may have, or a member of any instrument class may have, may be associated to a broken number on some MIDI device. So we may introduce a property called has broken number, which so to call it points to a MIDI program number class, which itself stores the MIDI program number, or the horn may be available on some particular MIDI device, which itself is associated with some particular other port. And these are just the classes, and to make it work, we also have individuals. For example, the French horn, once again, may be a member of the class horn, and it may have the MIDI program number 61, and the French horn may be available on a whatever particular sound card, which itself may have the other horn 64:0. So how does it look in practice? As I said, there are many tools already available for ontologies, and I just took one existing tool that was originally developed at the Stanford University, and I use it to visualize the ontology and also to perform a particular query. And this is open source software, so you can, if you like, you can try it out. It's just here as an example for a presentation, but you are not bound to this particular ontology framework. You can also have some command line tools or whatever. It's just here for demonstration purposes. So with this ontology tool, for example, you can perform a query. For example, let's say we want to look for a sound. Then this is a conjunction of conditions. So first condition, we want to have a sound. Second condition, there should be a property as quality, has a sound quality, which has the value basket quality. That is our sound. We would like to have a sound that has the tag bars. And it should also have the quality synth, so it should also be a synthetic sound. And the third condition is, well, we are just looking for a specific MIDI device that we would like, because in this example we would like to get all sounds in the whole system, but just only on a single MIDI device. So the third condition is that the sound should live on a particular MIDI device. And in Protégé, in this tool, in this ontology tool, we just enter these three conditions. We can also add more conditions if we like. And yeah, let's look what Protégé then returns. So it returns three matches, and it says, okay, there are three sounds that fulfill these conditions. There's a general MIDI bass and lead sound, there's a general MIDI synth bass 1 sound, and there's a general MIDI synth bass 2 sound on this particular MIDI device. Okay, well, let's have a look at, for example, the first thing. So in Protégé, I just double click on this result, and then a window pops up, and first of all we can verify that our conditions are really fulfilled. So here it has the two qualities, bass quality and synth quality, that we required, and it really lives on this device, at least our database says so. And there's also a description, a comment, a generic instance of a sound that represents a bass and lead sound, program number 88 on any GM level D compatible device. But we also noticed that there's a third quality, so has quality, has also a third entry, and that's called lead quality. Okay, so let's have a look what lead quality is, and we double click on this lead quality. And Protégé pops up a window and says, okay, lead quality, sound is said to have a lead quality if it is useful rather than contributing the melody of a music piece rather than its, to its harmonics or rhythm. Okay, I entered this description at some point into the database, of course someone has to do. So we love to know so we can retrieve all the information about this sound. So, sounds nice, but this is only a start point, because someone has to set up and build this database, and I just put in just a few values to show that it is possible. So, what has to be done? First of all, there should be an ontology management system somewhere installed on the system, and obviously it should be on the level on maybe ALSA. So I guess ALSA developers should, if they like this approach, they should agree on some way where to install, where to set up such an ontology or other management system. And this system then may serve as a central registry, as a central database where all this information is collected and can be queried. And every change in the system should also track in this management system. The next step would be to provide an interface such that application developers can easily access this central registry, so there should be an API that is not too difficult for users. And thinking a little bit further, this approach is not even specific to Linux, and it's not even specific to any particular operating system. Actually, it could be merged to a standard that is cross-platform, or maybe even implemented in hardware synthesizers, for example. For example, the hardware synthesizers could themselves provide the information about the sounds that it provides. So maybe it's worth thinking about a standard here. And what have application developers to do? Well, whenever the sound is created or patched or added to the system, then the application should register it in the management system. And to do so, it must annotate the sound with tags. Okay, which tags are available? Well, that is for some part, again, in the responsibility of the central registry to provide a collection of tags that can be applied. On the other hand, application developers could also help to work out a number of tags that make sense for particular ways of synthesizing sounds. And these tags should be put into the management system by the application whenever a sound is created or modified or whatever. So what obviously is needed, one we have to think about proper tags for standardization. And as I said, the FreeSound project may be a source for finding such tags. And if we think a little bit further, if we have such tags, this may also help application developers to design their applications in a better way, because if the application developers are thinking in these tags, they may, for example, adapt their graphical user interface in terms of these tags, and this may also lead to improved usability of applications. So I think the user would benefit in many ways from this approach. Yeah, so conclusions. We really would like to have such a management, because currently it's a total mess with so many sounds, and you can't find them, you can't list them in a standardized way. I just showed that ontology processing should be good for processing sound resources, and an ontology management system may be used as a central repository or registry. And finally, applications should use this central repository for querying, for answering, and I think that would really enhance usability of current systems. Yeah, I think that's all. So, if you have questions, feel free.
Okay, thank you very much, Jürgen. There's already the first question.
Hi, I'm Timjani from Germany, and I've got three questions for you.
Okay.
First one, are these slides part of the proceedings?
They are. They should be published on the web.
In the moment, I'm not sure if you send it in
yes.
time, so they should be available on the web, and if not, that we will make them available.
Okay, thanks. And you seem to be talking about a central database here. Have you thought about a license for that?
A license for this, for the content of the...
For the content of the database, yeah.
Okay. Good question.
This is one of the most important aspects, really, in, when building up databases for use in free software programs.
Yeah.
We've been through the pain of the CDD database being, well, basically ripped off by a foreign company. And we've got other projects, like the one Fons is going to work on, the Imposter Sponsors, which aims at building up a free database as well. So this is really like something many free programs can contribute to, and they could also duplicate and package up, and for instance, in distributions.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so first of all, if you think of applications written for Linux Audio, which are themselves free, that should not be a problem, I guess, because the applications themselves are free, so I guess it should be no problem to register them or their sound resources.
But if the user is going to enter data, that data is going to be, or has to be agreed on in licensing terms by the user. This is not related to the license and application that can be used as an editor is written under.
I don't see right the point. So you have data about software.
Yeah, and users are going to edit this, just like with a CDDB database, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so users are creating content here.
Yeah.
And this is going to into a central database. And if you want multiple applications to use that and the database to be duplicatable, it needs to be licensed appropriately. So basically, user would have to agree to some kind of license if they upload content.
Maybe I'm not an expert in such things, yeah.
Okay, this is definitely something that needs to be looked into at least.
Okay.
And the third question is more in research. Have you thought about coupling this with neural networks that might be able to infer at least some of the text automatically from the audio data?
Yes, I have thought of it. Maybe this is interesting in a sense of a pre-processing step. It's difficult to extend ontological reasoning to fuzzy logic or something like that, or to combine it with such algorithms. But in the pre-processing step, you could, of course, generate these tags if you have a given set of predefined tags. Well, yeah, that's of course. That's
okay. Good. Thank you.
Yeah.
Another question? William?
This is Julian Klaus in Germany. I've got two questions. I mean, the first is my usual one. The application you just used to access your database, does it have a text interface or do you plan on one?
Actually, as I said, there's a lot of tools available, and I just took Protégé as a graphical user interface as an example. I'm not intending to write an application on my own, but it is imaginable that one writes particular tailored tools for entering something into the database, or that on maybe on the ALSA level one will create an API for easily putting data into the ontology base. So this isn't actually that's future work. It's open. There are many possibilities that you could think of.
Okay. Second question is, for instance, you said that if I have a sound which is called horn, it is automatically sorted into, or I put it into some class. And if this class is a subclass of, brass instrument, and this is automatically a kind of melodic instrument.
Yeah.
But for instance, I have samples from a horn, but they are very experimental. Imagine used for computer music concerts, like only very weird sounds you can get from a horn. Is it possible to say my instrument is a brass instrument, but it's not melodic, it's, for instance, kind of an effect sound?
Okay, that is an interesting or challenging question for the ontology design, for the design of the class hierarchy. So in this case, one could think of making the class hierarchy a little bit different. For example, maybe you want to introduce a brass class, and maybe or maybe synthetic brass class, or you may want to it's not easy to do, but so I see the point. I think that's also something that one has to discuss further.
One last question before I hand the microphone back. You said you were always talking about this ontology database being taken over by the ALSA development. I don't see the direct connection between ALSA and your database. I mean, it's a central piece of music, it's a central piece of sounds, but shouldn't it be a separate project on its own? I mean, it hasn't. To me, it looks like it has not much to do with the audio drivers.
Okay. Yes, maybe. So what I wanted to say is that there should be some central point. Maybe it should be a project of its own, most probably. But I thought at the ALSA level, we have already an API that is accessible to all users of audio. So I think that's the right level of abstraction. But of course, it could also be a totally different project. But I think it should be on the same level of abstraction. It should be central in the operating system. It should be available to all applications. And it should be, whenever ALSA is installed, there should also be this management system, or the API to this management system should be installed. It should become an integral part of the audio system as a whole.
Well, thank you.
Okay, maybe there's another question. Nothing from the internet, Eric? Okay, so then thank you very much, Jürgen, for the in spite of having 10 minutes to 3, we decided we just continue with the last, very last part of the conference. Because there's people, trains are leaving, and so we are not going to lose more time.